is up. Revolutionaries, hello. You've got the Rational Revolution. Oh my goodness. This is the last episode before the election. And as Tony Evers says, I am jazzed as hell because I think I've got the best cast of characters that we have. We have congressional candidate, my friend, Dr. Kristen Lierley is here.
Yeah. I'm just one of the two Kristens.
That's exactly right, because the other one is the former host of the show herself. Whoop. Someone who I knew when I was a very young child, and now she's all grown up.
And she's so real. Shapes have changed. Her hair color has changed.
It's Chris Alfheim. Oh my gosh. What a show, guys.
It's like coming home. I love the show. You know it. The cue in music made me happy.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. Right? So
it's your baby.
It is my baby. I truly do. And I've enjoyed listening to your shows.
Thank you.
The guests you've had on the conversations.
It's been wild.
Yeah.
It has been a wild, wild time.
And it's a perspective that people really need.
Absolutely.
People in this region want what you are talking about.
Well, because I mean, and I think this is what you guys both are as well. This is not about left versus right. This is about right versus wrong.
Yes.
And
it's the whole concept of having conversations as opposed to spouting opinions. Let's just have a conversation. Reduce the crazy, reduce the stress, and just talk about an issue, because there are points on both sides that we need to be hearing so that we can understand. And if we can do that, we move forward together.
And that's the one thing I'm consistently hearing on the doors. Yep. People are saying, I'm not here and I'm not there. I'm in the middle.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'm in the middle, and I want to talk about the stuff that's going to make my life better and going to create a future for my kids.
That's right.
So the more conversations we can have, the more of that positive change we can make. And you're making it happen,
hey,
baby.
Well,
Mark Becker.
Thank you. No, this has been, it's been so cool. And, you know, and I think there's excitement on both of your races and what happens next. Because we had Mark Pocan on, and he talked about, what was it, like 7 bills they've passed this session or something? Like 14.
Least productive Congress since the Civil
horrible.
War.
Wow. Right. Mm-hmm. It's not great.
No.
That's not a good distinction. And now we have fair maps in Wisconsin.
Imagine if we had them on the congressional districts.
Holy,
also, what we would accomplish.
Yeah, my God.
Seriously.
When would that happen?
You know, it's such a big deal that we talk about this. And you know me, I've gone down the path of lines for so long. But balance is where things happen.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
When our government is actually representative of who we are, we then must work together to move forward.
Mm-hmm.
Not to a perfect answer, but to a better answer than where we are today. And in Madison, that's why we have leaning so hard blue right now, because we must rebalance so we can start taking care of every kitchen table. Then the congressional district, and I know Dr. Lierley knows this better than I, we're still out of whack.
Very.
So there is work to be done on the gerrymandering. And if it's going on in Wisconsin, how many other states are doing it? 17?
What happened? How is that process on the federal side with that?
So for us here in Wisconsin, they actually brought up a case to the Supreme Court asking them to redraw the lines, and they declined to take it.
Perfect.
I suspect that they're going to bring it up again, probably in the next session.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I think there was and correct me if I'm wrong, but there was a gerrymandering case that went to the Supreme Court that was rejected back to the states.
Mm-hmm.
So I do believe that Wisconsin is in a better position. Wink, wink, there's another Supreme Court issue.
Yeah, oh my gosh,
soon.
I know.
But the point is, if you push it to the state then, with proper representation, has the opportunity to fix it.
Mm-hmm.
But if there's 17 states across the country that are gerrymandered in congressional districts like Wisconsin, where we have 8 congressional districts, only 2 have truly the true ability to be fair and competitive.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine if that were actually 3.5 as an average, and that took place in 17 states.
Mm-hmm.
How does that change the balance in Washington, and what might we actually get done
right
in Washington if we had balance?
Because the balance of the House is, it's 4 seats.
Yeah.
Right.
There are 4 seats of the 435 seats that are out there.
Right.
So, I mean, even just with me flipping this district, which is what's going to happen
on
Tuesday.
You know you are.
Yes.
You know you are. You know you are.
This could be the district that
Absolutely.
Flips the balance of power and makes our Congress functional again.
Because I think what, you know, on that side of it, the reason, you know, because of the gerrymandering, people like Matt Gaetz and Marjorie Taylor Greene and the Lauren Boberts of the world, they have that power, even though they're in such a minority, because it's such a disproportionately skewed balance. It's not, it's out of balance.
Right. And these are people who don't want to work with other people. They want to take their ball and go home. Yeah. They're not trying to solve problems. No. They're just trying to push their own agenda.
Yeah, I mean, they're like a bull in a china shop. They're just trying to blow it all up.
Yes, well,
but there's no plan for after that. That's the issue. And again, gerrymandering, and I'm somebody that 5 years ago didn't know who gerrymander was. But complacent, comfortable people haven't really paid attention. But we're also the ones that are angry that things aren't actually going forward. Mm-hmm. Well, that's why.
Right, here's why.
Here's why. Right. So for those purple people out there, understanding purple people, mm-hmm. there's an awful lot of purple shades.
Mm-hmm.
You know, again, lean red, lean blue, I don't care. That middle cut of people that is frustrated with politics, they're frustrated with people standing on the edges.
Mm-hmm.
Vote to rebalance.
Mm-hmm.
Vote to rebalance. And that in itself will start moving us forward again.
You talk about, you know, it's like doctor, like clear. All right. Start over.
Crank it up.
Here we go.
Crank it up another match.
I can do that for all of us.
Nice. I don't think I should.
Unless it's like the ones in like the churches that have like the 1, 2, 3
steps.
If I
had to, I would follow those. I would follow the directions.
That's what they are.
Right. Yes. I'm not afraid to be that person if need be.
That's what all the public, and just not to get sidetracked here and talk about AEDs, but all those automatic defibrillators that are in all of these public places.
Yeah.
Any one of us can use those. Here's your public service announcement right now. If anybody's having a heart attack, just go grab that thing. It'll tell you exactly how to use it. And you can't mess it up, because if the person doesn't need to be defibrillated, it's not going to do it.
It won't do it. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
That's cool.
So don't be afraid.
So there goes trying it out.
I would be nervous.
There's a lot of anxiety attacks going on right now in Wisconsin. I know my wife is at home not wanting to listen to anything. The mute button is being used. Netflix is going hard right now because people are tired of it.
How is that on family, on a spouse? You know, how...
I had a young gal from Lawrence University interview me for her senior thesis the other day, and a number of other candidates. And they talked about women as candidates and what that feels like, and where's the biggest sacrifice. And I think Kristen would agree, the biggest sacrifice is family.
Mm-hmm.
The biggest sacrifice we have is that we are not home. We have our jobs, we have what we're supposed to be doing, and then we have these campaigns, and we aren't there.
Mm-hmm. Right.
My wife said to me the other day, I look forward to not doing life alone.
Mm. Oh, wow.
Those are impactful words.
Mm-hmm.
And yet more and more women are getting involved in this. And why? Because we understand the sacrifice is necessary. We must show up.
Because you guys do it so much better than guys.
Well, I think the reality is...
There are a lot of guys who do great work.
This is not an anti-guy conversation.
No, I know.
Mm-hmm. But the real answer is there's so much work to be done.
Yeah.
And it takes more sacrifice in fair maps to...
Yeah.
To run, to do the work, to raise the money. You are constantly working. We could take money out of politics. That'd be my magic
wand
moment. But anyway, but the reality is that the women know what's at risk, and they are willing to sacrifice at home to make it happen.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a very, very honorable thing to do right now, because we know the fight has to take place and we're all working through it. But this morning I was given the reminder, there are 5 days late. That's one hand. One hand.
It feels so good.
It does.
Well, and let's remember that representation matters.
Absolutely.
And right now in the Wisconsin State Legislature, only about a third of the representatives are women. Mm-hmm. And it is a record number for Wisconsin.
Oh, yeah.
It's harder for women to campaign. It's harder for women to raise money. It's harder for women because we have so many other things going on in our lives. We are the core of the care community in our lives.
That's right.
It's harder for us. And you know, for me, running for Congress, do you know how many women have been elected in Wisconsin to go to Washington, D.C. and represent us? How many women has Wisconsin sent to Washington, D.C.?
Well, I know Tammy.
Two.
Okay.
Tammy and Gwen Moore.
Oh, yeah, Gwen Moore. That's right.
Gwen Moore. That's right,
it.
Gwen.
I'll be the third and the first from Northeast Wisconsin.
Whoop, whoop. And it's all like within like the last few years.
They're
you know?
Both I mean, like, actively representing right
they're,
now.
They're still in.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like this. We have a storied history.
We do
this.
Not.
Yeah. We don't have that.
Not
that's
yet.
Crazy.
That's what we're working on, right?
Yeah.
Yes. So we got, Chris Alfheim and Kristen Lyerly are here. We're kind of talking about, you know, how everything has been. And so what's the takeaways from the last, you know, months of doing this madness?
I'm having a blast.
Yeah.
I know. Chris's face is like, I don't know.
Chris is like, oh my God.
I love this work. I am beyond an extrovert. I know Chris is still dying.
Wow. You are a cheerleader. You are a cheerleader at heart.
It's been good.
I mean, I was a mascot in college.
I know. That's what I'm saying. You're bringing it home. Forever cheering.
No, but it's true. Like, I love getting out and talking to people. It's unusual for congressional candidates to go out and knock on doors.
Yeah,
but I'm doing it every day. I was collating literature down with my team. I'm calling people, having conversations, talking with people who otherwise I don't get to hear their perspectives.
Right. Yeah.
Yesterday, right across the street from where some signs, Democratic signs, were vandalized.
Yes,
I was talking with a voter right across the street, and we talked about abortion. She was a boy mom, just like me. We had found these similarities. We started from a place of trust. And I said, what is the thing that you're really thinking about with this election? What's the issue? And she knew I was an OBGYN doctor. She was looking at my literature. She said, you know, it's abortion. I don't think it belongs on a federal stage. I think it belongs in the states.
Yeah.
And I said, you know where I think it belongs? I think it belongs with us as individuals.
Mm-hmm.
And you as a mom and a grandmother know that pregnancies aren't always joyful.
Mm-hmm.
They're hard. They're complicated. Things come up. And nobody is better suited to make those decisions than you, with the advice of your medical team and your faith leaders and the other people who you trust. Yeah. And she looked at me and she said, you're right.
I think my favorite conversations, and there is a lot of joy going on in this campaign, in all campaigns. The joy that I find is the unity in stepping forward.
Mm-hmm.
The unity in the person who's never had a sign in their yard, but this year they did.
Yes.
Even if it's just one, it's one sign they've never done before. The unity in volunteers. I was chased down the sidewalk the other night because I had offered, when I introduced Pete Buttigieg, I offered that if they
I love
never,
how she slips that in there. That day that I introduced Pete Buttigieg.
Sure did. Technically, I didn't introduce him, but I was on the stage and standing right behind him, and I riled the crowd for him. Anyway, in my opening, it was all about, you know, help us. It was canvas. Yeah. And if you've never canvassed before, I said, come with me.
Mm-hmm.
I'll show you. You just jump in my car. And someone chased me down the sidewalk afterwards to say, are you going today? And I said, I am. And but it was in Nina. And so she met me on Monday.
Are you?
No
and
kidding.
We went out on the doors.
Nice.
And then yesterday I'm in the middle of doors switching over turfs, and I get a message from somebody from California that said, I watch your videos. Your canvassing videos, and I consider them like meditation. Mm. They keep me calm. They keep me going. And I've used some of your quotes over in Nevada. That is how impactful we can be as candidates, and how we are refilled by the people across the country that are listening and on the same team. And that balance of unity, to me, it really is everything.
It's really cool to see how much Wisconsin matters. I was watching Kamala Harris's rally with like Mumford and Sons and all of this stuff. And it's like, this is such a cool time that we can see how important what we do is. Mm-hmm. And we're going to talk more about that here on the other side with Chris Alfheim and Kristen Lierley. We'll see you back in a little bit.